At the end of Daniel chapter 1, Daniel was exalted to the position of one of the wise men of Babylon. This position meant that Daniel served in King Nebuchadnezzar's court, which was a very privileged position. However, the only difficulty with this privileged position that Daniel now held were the demands that the king of Babylon placed upon his wise counselors. Nebuchadnezzar expected the wise men who served in his court to know the impossible. And we have an example of this in Daniel chapter 2, in this portion of scripture which we have read today. In this portion of scripture, the king of Babylon had a dream that troubled him. But when he awoke from his sleep, he could not remember the dream. At that point, Nebuchadnezzar called for the wise men of Babylon and commanded them not only to give the interpretation of the dream, but they were also to tell the king his dream. This, of course, humanly speaking, was impossible. And because the wise men of Babylon could not tell the king his dream or give him the interpretation of the dream, a crisis arose for Daniel and his friends. A very serious crisis arose for Daniel and his friends. King Nebuchadnezzar decreed that because of this failure on the part of his wise counselors to tell him his dream and the interpretation of it, they were to be put to death. And of course, this included Daniel and his three friends. Look at what verse 13 of Daniel chapter 2 says. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. What a crisis Daniel found himself in, facing death. Very simply today, as we come to preach God's word, I want to draw your attention to this crisis and Daniel's reaction in the midst of this crisis. And I pray as we come to deal with this subject that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts and to all of our souls. And I pray that the Lord will bless his word to us richly. How did Daniel overcome this crisis? How did he react when faced with this day of crisis in his life? Well, we can see very clearly in this portion of scripture how Daniel overcame the crisis and how he reacted when this crisis came into his life. I want you to notice, first of all, verse 16. And I want you to notice that Daniel, first of all, put his faith in the God of heaven to solve this crisis. Look what it says in verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. What does this text teach us? I believe that this text is teaching us that Daniel's faith was in the Lord. Daniel knew that God could interpret dreams. And Daniel here is telling the king, give me time, and not only will I tell you your dream, but I will give you the interpretation of your dream. You see, Daniel believed that his God was omnipotent and omniscient, all-knowing and all-powerful. Therefore, what Daniel does in verse 16, I believe, is an act of faith. Daniel put his faith in the God of heaven. There's no doubt in Daniel's mind whatsoever that the Lord could not solve this problem. Daniel believed that the Lord could solve the problem. Daniel in verse 16 is not putting his faith in his own ability. Daniel could not interpret dreams, nor had he the ability to tell the king what he had dreamed. But Daniel knew that God had this ability. Therefore, Daniel puts his faith, puts his trust in the all-knowing and in the all-powerful God of heaven. A child of God, it's important that you see that in verse 16. You can see here the confidence that Daniel had in the Lord. It's not confidence in himself. He's not going in before the king boasting that he can interpret dreams. No, I believe when we read verse 6, and indeed when we read verse 6 in the context of the chapter, and especially in the context of the events which are going to take place after verse 16, Daniel's confidence is in the Lord. Daniel's faith is in the Lord. Now, at that point in verse 16, Daniel did not know the king's dream, and he did not know the interpretation of the king's dream. Put yourself in Daniel's situation. He's facing death. The decree has gone forth. The king has signed the decree. All the wise men were to die. And Daniel and his friends were among that number. Daniel's facing a real crisis here. He's facing death. And yet, although he's facing death, you can see we have recorded here the story of a man who had his confidence in the Lord, who had his faith in the God of heaven. You know, child of God, here is what we're to do in a time of crisis. We're to put our faith not in our own ability, but in the power of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 62 verse 8, what a wonderful text it is. Trust in the Lord at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. It's very easy to trust the Lord when everything's going well. And it's very easy to trust the Lord when you're on the mountaintop. But when the valley comes, when the day of trouble comes, when the day of crisis comes, that's the test. And here the psalmist exhorts God's people to trust in the Lord, not just in the good times, not just when you're on the mountaintop, not just when everything's going well, but the psalmist here in our text says, trust in the Lord at all times. And that's what Daniel's doing in Daniel chapter 2. A crisis has arisen. He's facing the executioner. And yet his confidence is in the God of heaven. And that's why he can go in before the king and he can say to the king, give me time and I'll show the king the interpretation. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 26 verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. In Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 we read these words, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. The Lord our Savior is the one who has promised to give strength in our time of need. Who better to trust in a time of crisis than the God of heaven? Oh, maybe there's someone here this afternoon and you're going through the valley. You're going through a time of crisis. Trust the Lord. Look to the Lord. And thank God the Lord will give you strength in your time of need. There's a wonderful text of scripture in Isaiah chapter 12. And it's verse 2. Listen to these wonderful words. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Isn't that a tremendous text of scripture? Oh, child of God, claim that wonderful promise today. Thank God, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the valley, the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He has promised to be that friend that will stick closer than a brother. When Paul was writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 10, he says, we trust in the living God. And it's not the truth today. We trust in the living God. Our God is not on a cross. Our God is not in a tomb. But thank God he has risen again. Thank God he is seated on his throne in heaven. What a wonderful Redeemer and what a wonderful Savior we have. One who has promised to be there even in the midst of a crisis. And here we have the example of this. Daniel's God was with him. And Daniel knew that. You see, Daniel believed the promises of God, that the Lord would be with him in the midst of trouble. And Daniel, that's why he has confidence here. His confidence, let me repeat it again because it's very important to repeat it. His confidence is not in himself. Because in himself, he's nothing but a sinner saved by grace. His confidence was in the Lord. But you can see in verse 16 the faith of this man, the great faith of this man. How he had put his faith in the Lord. And child of God, that's how we are to react in a time of a crisis. In the day of trouble, we're to look to the Lord. We're not to look to our circumstances. We're to look to the God of heaven. For he is omnipotent and he is omniscient. Thank God, the God of heaven is all powerful and all knowing and all wise and all merciful, as we're going to see just in a moment. But notice that Daniel did something else here in this crisis. Turn back again to Daniel chapter 2. I want you to notice, secondly, that Daniel prayed to God to solve this crisis. Now, look at verse 18. Verse 18 declares unto us that Daniel began to pray after the crisis, about the crisis that he found himself in. And as he prayed, look at verse 18, he desired mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret of the king's dream. If there's one truth that the biblical record teaches us about Daniel, it is the fact that he was a man of prayer. Not only was he a man of faith, but he was a man of prayer. Boys and girls often sing that little chorus, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times, even when they had him cast in the den of lions. Daniel was a man who prayed 3 times every day. Keep your hand in Daniel chapter 2 and turn over to Daniel chapter 6. Now, we'll be coming to this portion of Scripture, obviously, in the course of these studies. So we're not going to consider the context of Daniel praying here. But I just want to point out that Daniel was a man who prayed often, at least 3 times a day. Look what it says in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Underline the last part of the verse. As he did aforetimes. Daniel here, of course, is in another crisis, and he's praying again. He always prayed at a time of a crisis, you see. But it's interesting to note here that not only did he pray at a time of a crisis, but he prayed even when there wasn't a crisis, as he did aforetime. In other words, it was Daniel's practice to pray daily. It was Daniel's practice to pray 3 times every day. Child of God, let me ask you a question. Have you prayed today yet? Have you prayed this week yet? Young Christian, young man, young woman, you say you're saved and you love the Lord. Well, have you prayed this week yet? Have you sought the face of the Lord? Many just pray at a time of a crisis. But they don't pray at any other time. Child of God, we need to make it our practice to pray daily. We need to make it our practice to seek the Lord day by day and week by week. In Daniel 2 verse 18, we have the first mention in the book of Daniel of Daniel praying. He's praying around the mercy seat. He's praying in a time of crisis. He's praying for God's intervention. He's praying because he needs God's help. He's praying because he cannot solve the problem himself. But he prayed every day, even when there wasn't a crisis. And it's so important, child of God, that you and I make it our practice to wait upon the Lord, that we allow nothing to stop us from getting to the place of prayer, that we allow nothing to hinder us from seeking the face of God, whether it's a time of crisis or not, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley. Oh, I pray that God will make us all men and women of prayer. But you can see here what he's doing when this crisis came. He's praying. You see, although Daniel believed that God could solve the crisis and that God would intervene, Daniel believed that he had a responsibility to seek the face of God in prayer. Daniel knew that God would not intervene without prayer. Child of God, in times of crisis, we need to pray. And we need to pray more earnestly. Not only must we trust the Lord in the day of trouble, but we must call upon him to intervene on our behalf. And I'll tell you this, child of God, if you learn to pray now when there is no crisis, then when the crisis comes, you will know how to pray more effectively. When the crisis comes, we need to pray. You know, there's a wonderful text of Scripture. Keep your hand in Daniel chapter 2 and turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for a moment. This, of course, is the great chapter of the heroes of faith. A number of months ago, we considered these different heroes of faith at our prayer meeting. But I want you to underline in your Bible verse 6. And I want you to notice in verse 6 how faith and prayer go together. So far we have mentioned Daniel's faith. He trusted the Lord in the midst of the crisis. We have mentioned Daniel's prayer here. He's praying in the midst of the crisis. But notice how faith and prayer go together. Because we read in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him, to please the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That coming to God is a reference to prayer, seeking the face of God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's how Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed believing that God would solve the problem. Now, we have already pointed out that Daniel had this confidence even before he prayed. He went in before the king and he said to the king, listen, give me time and I'll tell you your interpretation. I'll tell you your dream. Give me time. His confidence was in the Lord. He had that confidence even before he got down on his knees. But when he got down on his knees to pray, he had this confidence in the Lord. He believed that God was a rewarder of them that diligently would seek him. He prayed in faith. Oh, what a man he was. Here we have the promise of God to those who seek him believingly. Those who seek him in prayer. Oh, child of God, when we come to pray, we need to recognize that we're coming before a great God. One who sits in the heavens. One who is all-powerful. One who is all-knowing. There's nothing that our God is not able to do. He can do the impossible. He not only can give the interpretation of dreams, but he can even tell men what they've dreamed. Oh, this wasn't a crisis to God, you see. It was a crisis to Daniel and his friends. It was a crisis certainly to the wise men of Babylon. But it wasn't really a crisis to God. You know, child of God, sometimes we look upon our crises and we look upon our days of trouble and sometimes we overemphasize them because there's nothing our God can't do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's nothing that your God can't do? Oh, how small our faith is at times. I pray that the Lord will increase our faith and take away our hearts of unbelief. For many times it's our unbelief that hinders our prayers. There's many references that we could turn to. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, thank God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or in these wonderful promises from God's precious truth that he has given to us. Daniel prayed in the midst of the crisis. And Daniel trusted the Lord in the midst of the crisis. And that's what we need to do when our day of trouble comes. But turn back again to Daniel chapter 2. I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice that Daniel got others to pray with him. Daniel got others to pray with him. Look what it says there in verse 17. And we're coming now to the full context of verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Daniel had friends. And he had friends who could pray. And Daniel here recognizes that he needs help in the place of prayer. He wants others to pray with him. Daniel did not want others to pray for him on this occasion. He wanted others to pray with him. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting others to pray for you. Indeed, we all need the prayers of God's saints. I need you to pray for me and you need me to pray for you. And we should all pray for one another. But on this occasion, Daniel was looking his friends to pray with him. To pray with him. Daniel here wanted others to join him around the throne of grace. He wanted others to intercede with him. Look at verse 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Oh, child of God. Two is always better than one. And three is always better than two. In a time of crisis, never be ashamed to get others to pray with you. I'm sure we're all familiar with that text of scripture over there in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 18 and verse 19. We read these words, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." What a tremendous text of scripture that is. And of course, when you're praying in a group, they all encourage themselves around the throne of grace. It's easier to pray when there's a group praying, isn't it? Certainly when we come to the prayer meetings on a Tuesday night, it's easier to pray for a length of time when there's others interceding with us. And of course, these prayer meetings that we've been having for the mission on the Friday nights, they have been a great source of encouragement to us. Isn't it easier to pray when there's others praying with you? And here, Daniel felt the need to get his friends to pray about this matter. Oh, child of God, in a time of crisis, never be ashamed to ask others to pray with you and to pray that the Lord will reveal his will and deal with the crisis. There's a wonderful text of scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 to 12. Listen to these words. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. United in prayer. Unity in prayer is the greatest weapon of the child of God and the Church of Christ. And there's nothing that the Church of Christ cannot accomplish for God when they pray together. And of course, there are many examples of this in the Bible. Oh, this crisis was resolved. Daniel's prayer was answered. And the prayers of his friends were answered. Look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19. And you'll see how the Lord answered their prayers. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now, isn't that a wonderful text of Scripture? At that point in that text, the Lord is revealing to Daniel Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And not only is Daniel receiving the knowledge of the dream, but he's also receiving the interpretation of the dream, because God gives him the interpretation of the dream as well. And the crisis is over. The crisis is over. All because Daniel trusted the Lord, prayed to the Lord, and got his friends to pray with him. God answered prayer. Oh, child of God, isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord answers prayer? Child of God, there's no crisis that God cannot resolve. There's no storm that God cannot calm. Notice how Daniel gave God all the glory after the Lord solved this crisis. Look what it says in verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." He exalted the name of the Lord. Maybe there's someone here today. I don't know your circumstances, but you're going through a time of crisis. You're in the valley. No one else knows about it. But you are going through the time of valley experience. Oh, child of God, here's what you have to do. You have to trust the Lord and turn to him in prayer and cry unto him. Cast your burden upon the Lord. And if the burden is so great, you find it hard to pray alone, then get others to pray with you. Let others know the problem and pray it together. And the Lord will bring you through the crisis. The Lord will resolve the crisis. And the Lord will answer your prayer. Maybe there's someone here today and you're not saved. And you don't know how to handle a crisis. My friend, you need to come to Christ today and put your faith and trust in him. There's nothing impossible with God. I don't know what you have to face, but I know this, that if you knew the Lord, unsaved friend, you could bring your burden to the Lord in prayer. You see, the reason why Daniel could bring his problem to the Lord and why he had this confidence of knowing that the Lord would solve his problem was because he knew the Lord in a personal way. Daniel was saved. Daniel was a child of God. And that's why his confidence was so much in the Lord. Because he had that personal relationship with the God of heaven. Do you have that personal relationship with the God of heaven? Oh, come today and trust him as your own and personal Savior. And then whatever you have to face in life, you'll have a friend that will stick closer than a brother. And more importantly, when you come to die and come to face death in eternity, you will have one who will bring you safely home to heaven, even the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word and bless these few thoughts to all of our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word to our hearts this afternoon. And we thank thee, Lord, for the direction of thy word. O God, we thank thee for Daniel's faith, how he had his faith in the God of heaven. Lord, help us day by day to seek thee. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of prayer. And O God, then when the crisis comes, we'll know where to run to. We'll know where to flee to in the day of crisis. We thank thee that we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. O God, may it be our practice day by day to seek the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. How the Lord Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. O God, make us praying men and women. Make us a praying Christian, that we might seek the Lord in all our circumstances. Lord, for those who are not saved, O God, we pray that you'll save them today. For Lord, we're so conscious that the prayer of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord. O God, I pray that each one here would know thee in a personal way, that they'll come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. And even this day, Lord, that they will receive everlasting life. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.